You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
It is Tuesday, February 19th, 2013. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, nay, Senator Katherine Harris will be joining us to give us an update from what's going on in the right-wing worldistan. Also on the program, an interview I did a week or so ago at Families USA. Gary Cohen, representative from Health and Human Services, on the Obamacare health exchanges on Friday. It was announced just how many states versus the federal government will run health exchanges. Do you know what they are? Do you know when they're going to be kicking in? You will by the end of this program. Also on the program today, the press whines. The Obama administration's not transparent enough on issues such as secret drone strikes and the resignation of Guantanamo prosecutors, or the comprehensive immigration reform bill, or what will happen with Keith. They're whining because they didn't get a chance to go on the golf junket with Tiger Woods. Of course, that makes a lot more sense. Simpson and Bowles take their old, tired roadshow to Washington and get heckled as part of the 1% onslaught on your retirement and more. That piece that we talked about with Duncan Black Atreos last week has now gone big, folks. First, it's on Atreos, or written by Atreos, and then we see the mainstream press pick up the message that our retirements are in jeopardy. Time for more Social Security payments. Facebook, billions of dollars generated by the sale of Facebook, and apparently they actually made some money on a tax refund because of the way that, accounting works with stock options, one of my favorite bailiwicks. And Ron Paul, of course, in damage control mode. We will talk about that as well. And also in the better half of the program, over the weekend, as you know, Nikki and my wife is expecting any day now, and thus has become virtually immobile because of she's very pregnant. And so Milo and I got out of the house for a bit, and Milo was subjected to watching her father pull over on the side of a road and call into an AM talk radio show.
Milo was in the car when that happened?
Well, it was a local. I just said, hold on one thing. I just said, give me one second. And we will play, fortunately now, even these local talk shows, even the ones that are brokered, apparently post their whole thing online. It's mildly amusing. The more amusing part is just that the guy had to cut me off and basically muted me. But we will play that in the better half of the program. But it's apropos because we are just literally days, if not weeks, away from the sequester. And as we hear more proposals to avoid the sequester, the desire for the very wealthy in this country to cut things like Social Security and Medicare benefits is at a fever pitch. And so this guy who has a stock show was following the lead of the stock tip rag barons, is following the lead of Simpson and Bowles in basically saying we're all going to turn into Greece unless we cut Social Security benefits immediately. We will talk about that more as the show progresses. Like I say, later in the program, I'm expecting to hear from the notoriously unreliable Senator Katherine Harris. I mean, let's be honest. There are days I'm shocked that she can figure out how to use a phone. I feel confident that she's not hearing my words now because, you know how it is. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be playing that interview from Gary Cohen. And at the time, it looked like there was up to 36, I believe, states that had yet to announce whether or not they were going to set up their own healthcare exchanges. As of Friday, the final day for states to tell the federal government whether they wanted to set up their own exchanges, it now appears that the federal government will run 26 of the state health exchanges. It will partner with 7 states where state and federal officials will take joint responsibility for creating that marketplace. And there are basically two thoughts as to whether or not this is a good thing. The enormous amount of states that have basically defaulted to the federal government. One is that the federal government will be engaging and setting these things up in an area where they don't have the expertise that state regulators have. They'll be working with these state regulators, nevertheless. The other is that we are that much closer to a federal standard of health insurance. We're not nearly there yet, but this is a move in that direction. And I hope the irony is not lost on you. Many of these states, want to avoid the federal government of the takeover of health insurance, and so they abdicated their responsibility for maintaining some type of lead role in setting up these state exchanges. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be hearing from that interview I did with Gary Cohen from the Health and Human Services. We'll be back after this. Continuing on with our coverage at Families USA Health Action 2013, Gary Cohen, director at Center for Consumer Information and Insurance Oversight, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services at Health and Human Services. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Thank you.
That's quite a title. Now, all right, here's I have a couple of questions for you. There are about 35 or 36 states, in my understanding, that have either been unable to implement their own exchange on a state level or simply because they want to be difficult in some respects and distance themselves for political reasons from the Affordable Care Act, they have thrown it to the federal exchanges. Does that make these exchanges, does it make it easier for you guys in some ways? How does that impact it?
Sure. That's a great question. I think the important thing to understand is that the system that we're building for consumers to be able to go online, fill out an application, find out what kind of subsidies they might be eligible for, and choose a health plan and get enrolled in health coverage by January 1 is scalable. So
January 1, 2014. Right.
It's scalable. We can accommodate however many states end up in the federal exchange and how many states end up with their own, you know, state marketplaces. We have encouraged states to take this on themselves because we feel that that's best for the consumers in their state to have a marketplace that's tailored to their particular market, their particular demographics, their particular situation. But we're going to be ready, and consumers all across the country will have the opportunity to purchase affordable health care coverage beginning on October 1 of this year when open enrollment begins.
So when you administer these state exchanges, is there any aspect of it that is there any sort of, I guess, is there anything that is universal in terms of what you're using across the states? In other words, does that make sense?
Yes. So there is. And I think the two things that are most notable are the insurance companies that want to sell products through the exchange will use a common form to submit their products to us. We will review those products to make sure that they are qualified or compliant with the law and all the regulations. And so that will be a common platform, although, as you know, the products themselves are state by state. They're different. They're going to be different in each state. But
do you have to use the state regulations? In other words, if we were to set up an exchange in a state Y, there would be a board of state regulators, right, that would sign off on the different health plans that are going to be part of that exchange. They're going to do it based upon state law and their own state law and regulations, should say, that they've made a determination as to what the bar is as to what is acceptable health insurance. Is there going to be one standard that you use for those 35, 36 states?
So there is going to be one standard as far as what the Affordable Care Act requires for products to be sold in the exchange. But at the same time, state law will still apply because those products still have to be approved by the state to be sold in the state.
So you then have to actually go back to their to those specific states, even though they've kicked it to you, and make it compliant with their state.
The state will do that.
The state will do that
through their normal regulatory, function of approving products for sale in the state.
So these plans have to pass the state threshold, and then there's another threshold that they have to pass. It's almost like a funnel, if you will.
Well, that's a good analogy, but it's important to note too that we're being very careful that not to duplicate. So if the state is doing their usual regulatory activity with respect to market-wide reforms, for example, the essential health benefits is a good example. They apply to all products, whether they're sold inside or outside the exchange.
Tell us what an essential health benefit is.
So one of the wonderful things about the Affordable Care Act is that it's going to guarantee a standard set of benefits in your health coverage that's going to apply to everyone. And there are 10 categories that you can imagine what they might be: hospital coverage, outpatient physician coverage, drug coverage, maternity coverage. And those are going to be guaranteed to everyone who buys health insurance, whether they're buying it through the exchange or whether they're buying it in the outside market.
And I would enter the exchange even if I do not qualify for subsidies. Is that correct?
You can.
As long as I am not getting a comparable or a plan is not being offered to me that meets those minimum standards.
Through your employer, correct.
Okay. And so all of this is going to be built by January 1st of 2014. I'm smiling as I say that because it seems to me like you got a lot of work.
We do have a lot of work to do, but I'm here to say that there's a lot of work that's been going on. For example, we just published last week for public comment the single streamlined application that all consumers will fill out to determine what subsidies they are eligible for. That went up. It was posted last Friday. We'll get comment on that, and it'll be finalized through our normal process. We have already published out to the insurance company community what they need to do in order to provide us with the information to have their products qualified to be sold through the exchange. And we are already building and actually have begun testing the federal data hub, which is where information from across the federal government that's needed to verify citizenship,
My income,
et cetera. All of that work is well underway, and we'll be ready to be tested and then operational by October 1st of this year.
Wow. And statutorily, that's when it has to be operational, and then it goes online on the...
So people will be able to apply for coverage beginning October 1st for coverage that will begin January 1st. So what we've done by regulation is have a pretty long open enrollment period for the first year to give people a chance to go online, shop, choose what they want, and then the coverage will start January 1.
Wow. I mean, that's, you know, as someone who has been sort of... was nearly thrown onto Cobra this year. Fortunately, my wife ended up getting some extra coverage. That was with a child coming. You know, I would have liked this to have started last October. But
you've pointed out, I mean, the security that people will have knowing that if they have a child is born or if they have, unfortunately, an illness or an accident, that they are guaranteed the ability to have access to affordable coverage regardless of their health condition is going to be really transformative.
Okay. Let me ask you one question that may be slightly off topic, but not necessarily. And to me, it seems it's pretty important. During this fiscal cliff deal, there was a mechanism where the funding to help start up co-ops across the country was basically cut. I'm sure you're familiar with the consumer-operated and oriented plans, nonprofits who were going to compete with private insurance companies. The government was spending, I don't know, a couple of billion dollars, essentially, to provide startup costs with it because obviously they're not getting any revenue. This was cut in the fiscal cliff deal. Why?
So I think, first of all, it's important to know that we have already made loans to 24 co-ops. So there are 24 co-ops that we've made startup loans and we'll be making the bigger solvency loans to get them in operation to begin offering coverage for 2014. So
how many states does that represent?
I think we have two in one state, so that would be 23 states.
Okay.
I think that's right. So you're right that additional funding for more co-ops was taken out of the budget, and I can't comment on why,
right,
because I'm not part of that. I mean, I take the law that they give me, and I carry it out. So
I understand. It's a drag, though, isn't it?
I really can't comment one way or the other.
Okay. All right. No, I appreciate it. I mean, obviously, this is you guys are in charge of implementing what you get, and there's no good going to come from you. But I will say again.
Well,
let me ask you
our
this.
Task now is to make the 24 co-ops that we have successful, and we are going to do everything we can to make that happen, and if they're successful, they'll be a model for, you know, what may happen in the future.
Are there other opportunities for future co-ops to receive any type of funding from other revenue streams or programs?
So what I would say in answer to that is that we've already heard from some of the folks who were interested in starting up co-ops who are coming to us with as creative and interesting ideas for how they might be able to obtain funding, and we're certainly open to listening to that, but at this point I can't say that it will happen or that it won't happen.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Gary Cohen, director at the Center for Consumer Information and Insurance Oversight, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services at Health and Human Services. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Sam.
You know, what I'm shocked about is that we haven't heard more from the Tea Party about the length of titles of some of these people, because obviously there shouldn't be any title that has more than three words in it. Interesting note on that, on those co-ops. Those co-ops were essentially the consolation prize to the consolation prize of a public option. To have nonprofits enter into the insurance market is a pretty important measure, because of course these are outfits that will not have be looking at dividends for their shareholders, will not be engaging in stock options for their executives. They will be basically competing with the private insurance companies, the for-profit insurance companies. And as you heard, about half the states in the country will have at least one of those, which the federal government will – hold on for a second. Hello?
Hello. Samuel.
Oh, it's
Samuel, it's Kathy.
It's
Kathy.
It's Catherine Harris, ladies and gentlemen. You all remember her as the former Secretary of State in Florida, the one who stole the election for George Bush and then went on to have a...
Yes, wonderful. Everybody knows who I am.
Well, I don't know about that. But, I mean, I refer to you as Senator, but, of course, you were never Senator.
Yes, I was a wonderful Senator. But, Samuel, I'm calling you from Shelby County, Alabama, to celebrate President's Day.
Well, okay, you realize President's Day was yesterday.
No, your President's Day was yesterday. Our President's Day is today. What is he, Julius Caesar? He doesn't tell me what for. I'm in Shelby County, Alabama right now.
Now, the Shelby...
With Steve Stockman. You know the wonderful Steve Stockman from Texas's 36th District, who invited the wonderful Motor City Madman Ted Nugent to the State of the Union.
Now, it's interesting that you're there with, I mean, Steve Stockman, of course, yes, you took Ted Nugent to the State of the Union, but Shelby County...
Wango Tango!
I'm sorry.
Nothing, go ahead.
Now, Shelby County is interesting also because Shelby County is, I believe, that's the county that is... suing
Yes, they're gonna, the Supreme Court's gonna hear on February 27th a challenge to Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. So we're here gearing up for the big day. The big day. Cause you heard that inaugural from that black fella, Obama. All that inclusion leaves a bad taste in my mouth like I've been drinking coconut water. Have you had coconut water, Sam? It's not good. It's not good. All young people keep trying to force coconut water on me. It tastes like dishwater and a little bit of Fresca in it. I don't like it.
Okay, I'm sorry. The coconut water, I got confused here. The Shelby County is trying to roll back the voting
They're
rights.
They're trying to make things right, Sam. The unfair, they want to keep the playing field tilted. White people have it hard enough as it is these days, Samuel. So we are, you know, Ed Blum, he's here. He's the man who's been filing all these suits. Edward Blum, Joseph the Plumber's here. It's wonderful.
Now, you're all...
Just wonderful.
Now, what has this got to do with coconut water? I got a little bit confused.
No, I'm just saying it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, all the inclusion, like coconut water.
Oh, right, I see. And but now, of course, you were pretty famous for... throwing thousands off the voting rolls. In fact,
It's called keeping things fair the way God meant them to be. Like God's plan for us to have guns and to get rid of the post office. I think what we need to do is have a well-regulated postal militias that will carry your mail and they'll have guns and they'll also do the stop and frisk that the NYPD does. Two birds, one stone. It's wonderful.
So wait a second. You're saying that the post office should be
just have a few well regulated armed militias that bring you your mail, privatize it, train them, Blackwater volunteers to train them. It'll be wonderful. They'll also do some stop and frisks if you need them to.
I got to say, that sounds like a real recipe for disaster. I mean, the stop and frisk itself has been sort of a dismal policy that really has...
He would say that. You probably liked that inaugural speech. I was waiting for Huey P. Newton and Woody Guthrie to come out, play a tune. It's like being at Trader Joe's. It's ridiculous.
Trader Joe's?
Yeah, we're all those people who believe, never mind, Samuel. Needless to say, the line does not move at all at Trader Joe's. Get a system. Say what you will about Whole Foods, and I got a lot to say, but their line moves. Everybody has their part to play, and they do it with a full heart. Don't forget to bring your own bag. That's the type of thing you do, Samuel. Let's get back to this Voting Rights Act thing here.
Now what is the problem with the Voting Rights Act and yours and Joe the Plumber's? And
I'll tell you exactly why. Ed Blum will tell you, but I'll tell you his tale of woe. His tale of woe, it's like Jane Eyre. Anyway, he lost in 1992 in Houston congressional race to a black fella, Craig Washington. His last name's Washington because slave owners were kind enough to give their workers, their guest workers, the last names of a sitting president, their guest workers back in the days of old.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Mr. Blum lost unfairly to a black fella in Houston, so he moved to Washington and started the project on fair representation to keep the playing field as God intended, tilted squarely to the right.
Well, now, but wait a second. Do you really think that white people are unrepresented in this country? I mean,
get the government out of my way. I don't want the government between me and my Klan rally. Samuel, what do you want me to have, a pigtail light bulb and a low-flow toilet, too? I've had enough of it. I've had enough of the Roman Empire. I've had it.
Now, wait a second. You're saying that President Obama is like Julius Caesar for upholding the Civil Rights Act?
Yeah, too many Caesars, not enough Brutuses. That's what I say. Anyway, Samuel.
Too many Caesars, not enough what?
Trust.
Not enough what? I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
The donor's trust, Mr. Blum.
Yeah, no. But
he has money. What Mr. Blum does, he provides a very nice service. He connects angry white people with powerful lawyers. It's like Christian Mingle, getting people together, finding God's match for you.
I'm sorry. Too many Caesars and not enough what?
Brutuses.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I hate, spoiler alert, Brutus killed Caesar. Come on, Sam. You've had since 44 B.C. to figure that one out. Come on. That enough? Not enough time for you?
Well,
by the way, it's Downton Abbey, not Downtown Abbey. Marcus was so angry when you kept saying Downtown Abbey. Marcus is still right now so upset. First Lady Sybil passes and now Matthew Crawley. Marcus is just beside himself. He can't stop crying.
Well, no, wait a second. You know, that actually raises an interesting question because
We could talk about Downton Abbey all day.
Well, I didn't realize it's not Downtown Abbey. I had no idea.
No, of course. But at least you won that podcast award for most mispronounced words. And congratulations. Kudos to you.
Well, no, wait a second. You mentioned Marcus Bachmann, and I wanted to talk to you about this some time ago, but you have a very strange phone system. But be that as it may, there were reports out of, I know you're good friends with Michelle Bachmann. Many people say you were in some respects the first, I mean, the original Michelle Bachmann. I mean, you were really out there, you know, with your lipstick all over your face and stuff like that before it was even fashionable in the Republican Party. Now, my understanding is that there have still been a lot of problems that are being reported with Michelle Bachmann's former presidential campaign, not the least of which was that she was under the sort of spell of some type of Svengali, her debate coach, who would not let her sleep in the same room as Marcus Bachmann while they were on the campaign trail.
What does this have to do with Downton Abbey?
I have no idea.
What does any of that have to do with Downton Abbey? Now, Samuel, listen, I will not be waylaid by you. You know what we're going to do after we leave Shelby, Alabama, Sam? We're going to Israel.
Again, you...
We're going to Israel. You know I love going to Israel.
Yes, I know. In fact, I feel like we rarely talk when you haven't been or are going.
We are going, and Joseph and Hadassah Lieberman are going to be there, and Joseph the Plumber are going to be there, because we're going to celebrate the end of talks on the two-state solution, because if we have two states, there's no entrance strategy for Jesus. Praise him. Oh, my God, which I forgot, Ted Nugent's going to go, too. We're going to talk about God's plan for guns. As you may or may not know, God had a plan. You know what? With all the shootings, there's a plan. Pundits on Fox say it, and it's true.
What is the plan?
The Second Amendment, when the earth was created 6,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, as you know, God handed down from Mount Sinai, Moses, the Second Amendment, who passed it on to James Madison, and then he told two friends, Colonel William C. Church and General George Wingate in 1871. Then they gave it to Ambrose Burnside, and he founded the NRA. Eventually, it got to Wayne LaPierre and David Keene. That's God's plan. Guns everywhere. Of course, no nuts. You don't bring a nut. No nut foods and Snickers bars to a schoolyard. Guns are fine, but don't you dare bring any nuts. Those kids need to be protected.
Now, where do you get this this record of history? I mean, you seem well versed in it, but I never heard anything about
it. Called the King James Bible. That's my record of history, Samuel. So anyway, we're going to Israel because there's a lot of things in common that we have with them. First of all, more walls are needed, bigger and higher immigration walls, as you know, to keep the illegals out. And there needs to be bigger and higher walls in Israel, too. You know, I don't understand why the Palestinians are so ungrateful. If you think about it, in 1948, 750,000 lucky Palestinians got to take a trip. It's like Oprah sending people to Australia. 750,000 lucky Palestinians. You're going to Nizana. Same thing. We did the same thing in the 1600s with the Indians. They got to take a trip.
Yeah, but no, okay.
Wonderful. See the new world. Go out there, hit the bricks, see what's what.
No, I have to ask you. You mentioned immigration reform, and you know, one of the
more walls. That's the only reform I'm talking about.
Well, all right, fair enough. Now, I appreciate that you want more greater border security. I'm really curious as your take on after the State of the Union, Marco Rubio, who you know is actually a senator from Florida.
He's adorable, Marco Rubio. He's adorable. So what if he puts a water bottle here or there? If what he's saying is what's important, I don't know why people get hung up on that kind of thing. But what they should be talking about with Marco Rubio is how he and that wonderful Paul Ryan and his friends Murph, Sully, Fitzy, the fat man, you know, that whole crew, Paul Ryan's crew. Austerity. Celebrate it, Sam, because you know the true engine of economic growth is increasing tax subsidies to prescription drug companies.
I didn't.
That's the true engine of economic growth. That and P90X.
How does that
You want to build your biceps? Lift up a couple of Ayn Rand novels. Carry your own mail. That's how you get your heart rate up.
No, wait a second. I want to hear more about how tax subsidies to prescription drugs, how does that drive economic growth?
It's the true engine of economic growth. You know what else helps? Fracking. Blasting shale rock beneath the earth's surface as God intended. That's how you grow an economy. Now, that's how you do it. More corporate profits. They have suffered enough.
Yeah,
let them free them up, Sam. Don't be so unkind to business.
Now, tell me something. You do a lot of traveling.
I go to Israel. And, you know, February 27th, they're hearing the Voting Rights Act thing to keep the playing field tilted. But also, do you remember on February 26th in 1969, Levi Eshkol passed away and was succeeded by Golda Meir. But why I bring it up is he appointed Moshe Dayan, the Minister of Defense, when he was Moshe Dayan. You know how I feel. He's wonderful.
Yes,
he's wonderful. Oh, and the King and I.
No.
Oh. No. I hope you're going to name your child Moshe Dayan Seder.
No, I probably won't. I mean, but it was not. It was.
How
your
about
brother.
David Ben Gurion Seder?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm curious. I mean, who funds these trips? I mean, you're in Shelby, Alabama. You're going to Israel. What's next?
The Donors Trust funds it. The Donors Trust. They're the same ones that fund the Ed Blum's suits. They give money to Alec and things like that.
What is it that you do exactly? I mean, what is their return on investment here? I mean, you know, one of the things that has become very clear is that, you know, frankly, a lot of what happens on the right seems to be a bit of a racket. You know, you have this big war between Karl Rove and folks, I think, like yourself. And, you know, it's really just two different groups looking for more money.
Don't worry, Sam. It's not a real war. It's just a distraction for dodo heads like you to talk about. Don't worry. The money's all going in the same place. They're all supporting the same people. We're all getting the message out there. Voter fraud. It's a huge problem, Sam. It's a huge problem. And Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts, he'll make it right in the same way that they tell us that speech is money. Money is speech, and it's true, the way God intended.
No.
But don't bring any nut foods to school. Gotta protect the children.
How are you dealing with President Obama's huge victory? I mean, isn't that a sign that with all due respect,
it's because of voter fraud. You tell that victory, as you call it, is called voter fraud.
But how come there's been no? There was, I think, maybe 15 examples of not even of convictions, but of charges of voter fraud across the country this past election cycle.
I can't. What did you say to me?
I said, there's been, as far as I know, about 15 charges of voter fraud across the entire country after this election, not even convictions, just that. I mean, 15 charges of it. I mean, how can you say this is a problem?
Because it's a huge problem, but we're going to make it right when the Supreme Court decides on Section 5 of the Voting Rights
Act. But how does that affect voter fraud in any way?
White people are rolling a rock up a hill every day, Sam. White men especially are having a real struggle. I'm surprised you don't have more sympathy with this, being that you are a white man, are you not?
Well, yes. I mean, I'm a white man, yes.
Well, then, why are you so resistant to this? Why do you keep telling me coconut water is delicious? It is not. It is not.
Said anything. I mean, coconut water is not bad. My understanding
is
it hydrates.
It's not good. It's not good.
You know, one of our listeners asked,
and 5-hour energy doesn't give you any energy at all. Not at all.
No, I'm sorry to hear that. But I got a tweet from a listener who wanted to ask you what you did with Toe, your pet camel.
Oh, my camel Toe! That is so lovely. My camel Toe is still in Israel, where I keep him boarded. That is so wonderful. Thank you for asking about my camel Toe. That's wonderful. I love that camel Toe.
Yes.
That's so wonderful. That is so adorable that somebody asked about my camel Toe. That's wonderful.
What is
it's real? The full name is Toseph.
Toseph.
Name is Toseph.
And people are still asking me to ask you, what's happening with Michelle Bachmann? I mean, she lost badly. She's having all these revelations, and you are close, obviously, with Marcus.
Well, right now, Michelle's trying to help Marcus out. He is so low. He is so blue after Lady Sybil and Matthew Crawley passed. He's so upset. Michelle's got her hands
full. Is that from Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey, yes. Downton, not downtown. Downton.
Downton Abbey.
Yes, it's horrible. Lady Sybil and Matthew Crawley, he was so, and you know, he loves that Thomas. Marcus, if he was, when through his tears, he said, if anything happens to that Thomas, well, Thomas, as you know, got battered a little bit, defending his friend, his gentleman friend. So he took it on the chin, literally. And Marcus was upset about that, but he was so proud of him for standing up for his gentleman friend. But as long as Thomas is alive, Marcus says he can face another day. But it's tough. He couldn't get out of bed this morning because of Matthew Crawley.
Because of is it Matthew Crawley? Is that from Downton Abbey?
Samuel, I will not indulge your nonsense. If you cannot keep up with this conversation, I don't know what.
I honestly don't know what.
I
don't watch
do
that television show, so I'm just not familiar with the characters.
You're not familiar with.
You seem very edgy.
That's me.
Yeah, I know. I could hear that. I could hear
that. I suppose you didn't see Puppy Bowl 9 either on Animal Planet.
No, I didn't. I didn't even know it was on. I mean, I had no idea.
Yes, on Super Bowl Sunday, there's the Puppy Bowl.
You didn't watch Super Bowl Sunday?
Do I watch Puppy Bowl? Of course I do, and I have all the DVDs. I have 1 through 9.
Let me ask you this. I mean, I want to just get it back to the news, if we could. You're familiar that there was a rally with about nearly 45,000 people in Washington this past weekend protesting against the potential for approving Keystone XL. When in your travels, I mean, is this
P90XL?
No, Keystone XL. That is the pipeline that is going to run from the Alberta tar sands.
I'm sorry, I know what it is. I thought you said P90X. I was just thinking of Paul Ryan and his friends Murph and Sully and Fitzy again.
Now it seems like you're avoiding this question. I mean, but aren't you concerned with the idea of global warming, and we had the
why would I be concerned with the idea of global warming? If the CO2 levels that we're at now mean that a 69-foot wall of water is coming our way, then that's the way God intended it. I'm sure it was in the same plan he handed down 6,000 years ago to Moses, who gave it to James Madison. I'm sure it's in there. I'm sure it's all part of the plan.
But what if it's not in there? What if this idea that we would...
How could it not be in there, Sam? If it's going to happen, it's part of the plan. Who do you think the Earth is here for, if not for white people to do with it what they will, and to send 750,000 lucky Palestinians on a free trip?
You were talking about Israel. What do you think about this nomination of Chuck Hagel? You've got the Republicans are more or less filibustering him now, and it seems to be they have switched from, it was first Benghazi, and now it's back to supposedly Hagel doesn't like Israel. I mean, what is your sense? I mean, this is a former Republican.
Well, let me
Republican.
Ask you this question, Chuck Hagel. Is Mr. Obama in support of Chuck Hagel?
Well, yes. I mean, he nodded.
Well, then that's all I need to hear. Then no thank you very much. Then it's not part of God's plan. It's very simple, Samuel. It's as plain on the nose as the nose on your face says this. That's if Mr. Obama is for it, then we are against it. Praise him, white power, Breitbart, I saw.
Well, then I think we could probably come to some type of agreement that you must be against this targeted assassination program with the drones.
Drones, you know what? Remote control drones. I think they're wonderful. I also think more wireless data sniffing on Facebook and Google through Apple Safari browser is one another economic growth engine.
I can't believe that you're that sort of technologically in the know.
Why is that hard to believe, Samuel?
Well, I mean, you don't strike...
Extrajudicial assassinations are a true engine of economic growth, as long as a Republican is doing it. Otherwise, I want Senate hearings too sweet.
So you're in favor of...
It depends.
What does it depend on?
It depends. If a Republican is in office and they are proposing more drone technology and information... mining, then that is part of God's plan, and I am for it. If a Democratic gentleman, especially who has dark skin, is for it, then it's not part of God's plan, and I am against it.
I see. Well, I mean, that makes it sort of easy for you, doesn't it, to fall on one side of an issue or another. I mean, in many respects, I mean, I think that's one of the complaints that, you know, some of us have with other liberals and progressives, that they just perceive it the opposite way.
Yeah, whatever you say. All I know is Joe and Hadassah and I are going to Israel. We're on an LL flight to Haifa.
Well, I mean, I wish you the best of luck, and I appreciate your calling in. Is there anything else you wanted to share? I mean, anything else you wanted to plug, I guess? How long are you going to be in Israel?
Plug? I don't know. I'm just, well, as you know, Pope Benedict is stepping down, and we're also going to have a rally. We're raising money. We're having another Mitch McConnell look-alike contest where for a dollar you can punch Mitch McConnell look-alike in the face. And we are having a rally to make sure that there is not a black Pope Peter Turkelson. I believe that's his name.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
Who takes Pope Benedict's place? We cannot have that. We cannot have it. It's not part of God's plan. I mean, we've had enough. What with Lady Sybil and Matthew Crawley?
I guess I'll tune into Downton Abbey and find out, what you're talking about. But I have no idea.
No, I'm sure you don't. That's not a surprise to me at all that you have no idea. I'd be shocked if you had an idea, Samuel.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Senator Catherine Harris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Samuel. It's as always wonderful. And I still am going to light a candle that you name your son, Moshe Dayan, or better get General Moshe Dayan Cedar. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Well,
or David Ben-Gurion Cedar.
Yeah, I don't think that would
happen. Or Levi Eshkol Cedar, that's highly unlikely
as well. But I appreciate the suggestion. We'll put them on the list.
Thank you.
Senator Catherine Harris, everyone, thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, hello.
No. Bye.
Hello,
bye-bye.
Hello. Yes, hello.
All right. Okay, folks. Wow. She sounds actually in pretty good spirits.
She sounded in really good spirits. She sounded in good spirits. I was really surprised with everything that you guys were talking about that she didn't call you a bad Jew once.
Yeah, no, I mean she seemed a little bit on edge, but she seemed as friendly as ever. All right,
very
folks.
Patient.
Yeah, she was very patient with me, and I appreciated that. We're going to take a break. When we come back, a Missouri Republican wants to make it illegal for his fellow lawmakers to propose any laws that would curtail gun use. Yes, you heard that right. We're going to take a break when we come back. 646-257-3920 is the number, 646-257-3920, if you want to be a part of this program. We'll also be play that clip from my inability not to call in on an annoying talk show. Also, Fox, Steve Ducey, bringing out the big policy guns, talking about preschool.
So we got Ducey and Bushy coming up in the
Ducey and Bushy. Also, we will get to that story on the top 1% capturing actually more than 100% of income gains over the past couple of years. Yes. I will explain the math in a moment. Gonna take a break. We'll be right back.